Praise the Lord. So that's good. Let's pray here again. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for what you did, showing your goodness and your great mercy towards Cheryl. We just pray for those young men that have made some really bad choices. Father, we pray for laborers that will come across their pathway, wherever they are, whatever's going to end up with them. Father, we ask you to send a laborer to them that they'll listen to, a skilled laborer who will meet them, not with condemnation, but with grace and your love and your goodness, and will show them there is a hope, there is a future, there is a way out of where they've been headed in Jesus' name. And we command the enemy to take his blinders off of them so that they may see in Jesus' name. And Father, we now just lift up these next few minutes to you. We thank you, Father, that for people willing to come out on a rainy night and meet together to learn from you and to fellowship with each other. And we just invite you to speak to us tonight. Show us what we need to see. Speak to us as we need to hear tonight from you. We need to know how to hear from you in a greater way and know how to walk with you and live with you and be more in tune with you. I ask you, Father, for all of us, to help work that out in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise God. Tonight, I just want to share with you, while I was gone, you know, I guess Nate spoke twice, and Eddie, he spoke one night, and Philip and Selma, fresh off an airplane, spoke the last Wednesday night we were gone, and then we've been back now two Sundays and a Wednesday. This is my second Wednesday back. But Eddie, I was talking to Eddie about something, and he shared in his message on authority, those of you who were here, he shared about the flow of authority. And he made reference when we were talking, reminded me of some things about this acronym FLOW, F-L-O-W. And he talked about it in terms of follow and listen and obey and being willing, or your will. Who knows what Eddie said? But anyway, I'm making it my own now. And so flow is, so I want to talk to you tonight about, I want to maybe start a series, not committing to it, but perhaps I might, about flow. They are starting a series on flowing with the Holy Spirit back overflow. They're going to overflow with the Spirit this month. And I'm really excited about that because young people need to know how to flow with the Holy Spirit and work with God and let God speak to them and work in them. But so do people like me and you, don't we? Amen. And so tonight, I'm just that, when I've just been meditating and this week and thinking about tonight what I was going to share, I want to just talk to you about that flowing with the Holy Spirit. I want to just start with the F, the follow, and might not be what you're expecting, because here's the deal. If you're going to flow with God, you're going to flow with the Holy Spirit, it all starts with following the Word. And I just want to talk to you a little bit about following the Word tonight, because there's a lot of reasons. I have a lot of reasons for coming with this. But it just is more apparent to me every day that most Christians do not know the Bible. They haven't been taught the Bible, and they've never learned the Bible, and they know a whole lot of what I would call Christianese. And they know a whole lot of things that maybe they read on Facebook, or they, you know, maybe got a calendar that has these sweet sayings in it, or they know what grandma says, or they know tradition, and it's not rooted in the Word. And the Bible tells us the traditions of man make the Word of God to no effect. So that shows me that often the traditions of man oppose the Word of God. And don't think it just means the traditions that have nothing to do with spiritual things. It's actually religious tradition that makes the Word of God of no effect. Now, me and you pride ourselves, notice pride, we pride ourselves on not being religious. In fact, one of the values of our church is we are anti-religion. However, we can be as religious as the next guy. Just because tonight we actually have a woman speaking, and just because I'm not wearing a robe and don't have a big gold cross hanging on a chain around my neck, and I'm not sprinkling holy water on you tonight, which might feel good. Some of you feel like you had holy water because you went through the rain to get in. But, you know, just because we're not swinging incense in here doesn't mean we can't be religious, because we can be religious with the best of them. Yeah, we can. And we can get our traditions going with the best of them. But if we will follow the Word, we have a better chance of staying out of religion and staying out of, and religion is man's attempts and man's ways and man's thoughts and man's rituals and traditions that man develops in order to be pleasing to God or to make things right with God and all that kind of stuff. It's man's ways. But we want to push those aside and we want God's ways and God's thoughts, not man's thoughts about God, God's thoughts about God. God revealing himself, who he is. And we're going to get that from the Word. And it's sad to say, the reverence for the Word, as well as even knowledge of the Word, seems to be slipping now. There was maybe a generation where, I mean, when I was a little kid, when I was in public school, they gave us Bibles in school. Did y'all get Bibles? They gave us a little red Bible in school. We prayed in school. There, you know, I'm not saying a lot of that was religion too, don't get me wrong. But, you know, there was at least a reverence for Scripture. Now, we're now, you talk to young people and what they deal with in school. There's no reverence even for the Word. But it's not just secular people. A lot of times we like to throw, oh, well, those atheists or those humanists or those people, and they don't believe in the Lord. I'm telling you, how many Christians have I talked to that say things to me like this? And this makes me mad. So don't be saying this to me. You may be thinking it, but don't say it to me. It makes me mad when people say to me, well, let me tell you what I believe about that. I don't really want to know what you believe. Now, if we're going to discuss what the Bible says, that's different. You know, and you may have a revelation based on the Scripture. That's okay. But don't, and I'm telling you, this happens a lot. Maybe you've encountered, am I the only one that's encountered people that will say to you, you'll be discussing a spiritual matter, and they will say to you, well, let me tell you what I believe. They don't say, let's discuss the Word or what does the Scripture say or nothing like that. It's all about what they believe. But we have to have something greater than what you believe or what I believe. We got to have something that's better than, I mean, Ekenes from another continent. He probably, you know, over there has opportunity to believe things different than Denise does growing up around here. Come on. So, but what makes one right and one wrong? There has to be a truth. And Jesus said, your word is truth. This is the truth. So we got to have the truth, and we all have to have a handle on the truth. We have to have knowledge of the truth. And we don't just get it by sitting in church. I wish this was all it took, is you just come to church every now and then and you get filled up with the Word. But it's not enough. You are going to have to delve into it. You're going to have to dive into it. You're going to have to get into it for yourself. It's not enough for you to say, well, Pastor Susie says. It's not enough. It's not enough for you to say, well, remember what Pastor Matt says and quote Pastor Matt. If Pastor Matt is quoting the Word, that's good. But it's so easy to go to live your life quoting Pastor Matt and not know the Word for yourself. And you need to know the Word for yourself. And if you're going to follow the Holy Spirit and you're going to follow God and you're going to flow with Him, you're going to have to follow the Word. And that's not a bad thing, and that's not like a drudgery. I know sometimes when you bring up, you know, you need to get in the Word, people think, oh, it's a drudgery, I don't want to read the Bible. I'm going to tell you, the Bible is so rich. The Bible has life in it. Just reading the Bible literally brings peace to me. When I can read the Bible, I can be anxious or upset, and I can read the Bible, and it will calm me down, and it will fill me up. It'll bring me peace. My fears, we just sang about how our fears were relieved, you know, by His grace. One way that happens in our lives is as we fill ourselves up with the Word, faith arises and fear just leaves us. Isn't that it's just the Word, just what it does in your life. It's like the most comfortable pair of pajamas you got. You know, do y'all have scriptures that are like that? There are scriptures that are like that to me. They're just whole passages that, like, they're like good home cooking, you know? You know, I remember when I was a kid, and we lived very close to both sets of our grandparents. I could walk to either set of my grandparents' house. I was incredibly blessed, because I had all four of my grandparents in my life every day. How blessed am I? But they, one set was this way a couple of minutes, one set was that way a couple of minutes. I saw them all the time. But when I went to Tall Granny's house, not Short Granny, Tall Granny's house, when you walked in the door at Tall Granny's house, it had a smell. And it was a smell that definitely involved bacon grease. And that's a good thing. And every now and then I'll be somewhere and I'll just have smell. In fact, Maddie Sue texted me not long ago and she said, I just smelled Tall Granny's house. Tall Granny lived and saw her, you know, till Maddie Sue was older. And she died about 10 years ago, I guess. And so Maddie Sue knew her, and Maddie Sue knew what Tall Granny's house smelled like. Some of y'all know what Tall Granny's house smelled like. And it just had a good smell. But there's scriptures that are like that. And when I would smell, and even now if I smell that smell, it's just something good. And there's scriptures that are like that in my life. They're just a sweet aroma. You know, the Bible says our prayers come up before God as an incense. Well, there's a sweet aroma about the Word. It'll clear the air. I tell you, the Word is sweet. It'll affect all of your senses. And it'll affect your emotions. It's not just something that happens spiritually that's removed from other parts of your life. No, it affects you in just all kinds. You will actually feel God's love reading His Word. You will feel confidence and boldness will rise. You'll get bold. I tell you what else you'll get. You'll get some joy and some hope. Sometimes people, you get down and you're like, man, woe is me. And you'll get joy. The circumstances didn't change, but just from the Word, joy will come. Am I the only one this happens to? I'm telling you, the Word is, reading the Word and getting in the Word is not a drudgery. It's life. And that doesn't even get into His Word becomes health to all of our flesh. You can be sick and the Word, just hearing the Word will bring healing to you. How many times in my life have I been healed just hearing the Word? So you can read the Word. Sometimes you're too deliriously sick to read the Word. So you can hear the Word. You can put on a CD or, I mean, you can go online and listen to the Word being read to you. We are spoiled people. It's so good. The Word. And so I just encourage you to get in the Word. You don't know how good it is, but it's like anything. You get an appetite for it. You start eating a little bit, and then you start eating a little bit more, and then you start wanting it. And then you'll get where you got to have it. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all ever had something like that? You start getting, and then you don't even think you really like it, and then you next thing you know, you really like it. And then you're missing it if you don't get it. That's how it works with the Word too. So just go ahead and this is all free, a little extra, but just go ahead and just step in there, start getting it, and then you'll find out you like it, and then you'll want more. I want to read a couple of things. Genesis chapter 2. We'll just start reading over there in Genesis 2, verse 15. You know, I've said this many times, I'll say it again. It's really important for us to know how this whole mess started. We can learn a lot about the mess we're in today from how the whole mess started and the mistakes that were made that got us into this. We don't want to make those same mistakes again because the enemy has not changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the other news is the enemy, he's pretty much the same too. He doesn't have any new tricks. And we see his main trick here in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2 verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, I talked about this sometime in the last year. We spent a little bit of time talking about this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And saying, and he said to him, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Some of you will remember us talking about this. And I said to you this, if I give you something or show you something and say, don't eat this because if you eat it, you will die. What would we call this thing? What? Poison. If I handed you a bottle of something and said, hold on to this, but whatever you do, don't drink it because if you drink it, you'll die. You would say, I can't drink this because it's poison. And so when he said that to them, he was saying to them, in essence, this tree is poison. Because you eat of it, you'll die. And that's relevant as you go on down and see what happens in chapter 3. Verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And I'd like to point out right there, here is the first sign that Eve did not know the word. Because Eve said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it. There was no mention that you can't touch it. That's not what God said. But already, right up front, Genesis 3, man is adding to God's words. And we've been adding to it ever since. Take something God said and we just start putting our own spin on it. That's what she was doing. You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So let's go on. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. And here's how the enemy works. He is always shooting a fiery dart at you, questioning what has God said. You shall not surely die. God has said it. She's saying here, God told me not to eat it. She's added a little to it, but she's got the gist of it. God said not to eat it. But he's saying, you're not going to die. You will not surely. He directly opposes what God's word said to her. For God knows, now see, and then he starts messing with her. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So he's tempting her. He's tempting her by creating this illusion that there's something that God doesn't want her to have. And he still works the same way, and it's all deception. He goes on to say, the scripture goes on to say, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, which is not true. The tree was not good for food. She saw it as good for food, but it was not good for food because it was poison. Isn't that right? Because we just discussed it. If you're going to eat something and you're surely going to die, all of us know that's poison. So that tree was a poison tree. So it was not. So what she saw was not even true. She was already deceived. She was already in delusion because she looked at a tree that was poison and thought, hey, that looks good for me to eat. But it wasn't. It was poison. I'm really having a hard time not telling you the story again about my granddaddy drinking the lemon-flavored ammonia that he thought was lemonade. Terrible story, but very much illustrates this. My granddaddy poured himself a big glass of lemon ammonia and drank it. He had Alzheimer's. It's okay. He wasn't. That wasn't okay, but there was a reason he did that. But he was deluded. He thought it was yellow. It smelled like lemon. It must be lemonade. And it was until it hit the back of his throat. And it burned. He was burned so bad all the way down. He swallowed it. Because he swallowed poison thinking it was lemonade. That was bad. But that's what happened to her. She looked at a tree and she saw that it was good for food, but it was not good for food. Now, here's a good point. If you don't know the word and don't take the word for what it is, which is the truth, the enemy will come in. He's very good at this. And he will somehow or another, in just a few moments here, she went from, I can't eat it, I can't touch it, to, oh man, that looks good, I'm going to eat it. That's good for food. I don't know how long this process took, it doesn't really say, but somehow or another, he worked on her till she saw this in a different way. And if you don't keep going back to the word, if you're not constantly reminding yourself, God said this is poison. God said this is poison. Somehow or another, she got away from the word and she fell under that delusion and she saw, oh no, actually it's good to eat. But God said it was poison. But it looks like it's good to eat. But God said it was poison. But I'm telling you, it looks really good to eat. It smells pretty good. It feels ripe. I bet it tastes like a peach. See, and people do this. How do people fall into sin that know better? Because they think it's good for food. It's poison. That looks pretty good. See, the enemy, if you don't stay with the word, if you don't, first of all, know the word, and she was kind of iffy on it. She wasn't real solid in it because she's like, He said we can't eat it or touch it. So she's not real solid on the word to start with, and she came off of it really quick. Is that what our testimony is going to be? That's not going to be my testimony. And it goes on to say that when she saw what she thought it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And y'all know what happened. That's when, you know, catastrophe struck, curse came, all the bad stuff. You can read the first three chapters of Genesis yourself. But here's the deal. If you don't know what God has said, how can you follow it? And that's where she was. She wasn't quite sure what he said. So if you don't know what he said, you've got to know what God said for yourself. You have got to know. It's not enough that your wife knows it, or that your husband knows it, or that your mama knows it. It's not enough. I mean, I would really be doing all my kids a disservice if I really made them dependent on me spiritually. As a parent, it is so critical that we get our kids hooked on the word for themselves, that they know the word, that they know scriptures, when they're not just coming to us to take care of their spiritual needs. It's not my job to take care of their spiritual needs. They have to have a relationship with God. They have to be connected. Our youngest child is 17. So really, at this point, most of my job is done with them spiritually. They're responsible. They have been for a long time responsible for their own healing. They're responsible for believing God for all kinds of things. That's their deal. I'm here to support. I'm here to give them counsel. But they got to know the word for themselves. They're responsible for that. And you're responsible, first of all, for you, and then helping your kids. How are you going to help them if you don't know the word? If you don't know the word, you'll be deceived. We see that with her. She wasn't quite sure about it, and she was deceived. Now I'm going to bring this up. If you don't know the word, you'll get flaky. And this is a really tough thing because we're spirit-filled people. How many of y'all really like being spirit-filled? How many of y'all are glad you're spirit-filled? I'm very glad I'm spirit-filled. There's so many wonderful things about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know why people don't want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because it's like great. It makes being a Christian a lot more fun, doesn't it? And a lot more interesting. It sure spices up your prayer life. I mean, we come in here on Thursday nights from 6 to 7 and we pray, you know. And I sometimes think, if I didn't pray in the Spirit, what would I be doing? I'd be sleeping right now. It'd be dry. How do people pray for an hour if they can't speak in tongues? Honestly, I don't think, I don't know. They are much more disciplined than I am because it just would be very difficult for me. But as spirit-filled people, I've seen it. Maybe you haven't seen it, but take my word for it. Spirit-filled people can get flaky really fast because the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, even speaking in tongues itself, it all becomes like a toy. It's like something we can do. And because the Holy Spirit will manifest himself in your life and you will physically feel him and experience him, and there's all this emotion that's affected and all these things are going on, then people, they just get going with it. I'm so thankful that Paul wrote instructions in the scripture about, you know, what the Holy Spirit is about, what the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives looks like, how to flow with him, how to work with him, how things should happen in a church service. He gave some explanation of the gifts. I'm so thankful that the manual has some instructions with it. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, one thing that the Bible says is, don't come to church and then just everybody stand here and speak in tongues the whole service. What good is that going to do? The only people who are edified when you speak in tongues are the people speaking in tongues. So if we just came to church and I just stood up here all night, how crazy would that be? I could stand here 45 minutes and just speak in tongues. I'd be edified, but the rest of you'd be going, after a while, you know, really? I think she said that word a few moments ago. I wonder what that word means. I've been in services where people analyzed other people's tongues. Did you hear what he just said? I think that means. And then they would, like the people listening, somebody would be praying in tongues and the people listening would try to make words out of it or assign meanings. My mother could tell you. There were very spiritual people. They would write down words that Brother Hagin would say. because Brother Hagin would have a teach on prayer and then he would pray. So we're all supposed to be praying. But some people would sit and write down the words in tongues and try to make something out of the words in tongues that he was praying. They would do this, Kristen. And then they would compare it to the meeting yesterday when he said another word that sounded similar, and they'll try to make something out of it. And then they would sit in the back and just discuss it. Yeah, it's like they were. It was the weirdest thing. Did I mention these were pastors? That kind of helps you understand it better when you see it was pastors, because you know how they are. But it's just, I'm just telling you, Pete, you can get flaky with things if you don't know what the word says. And if you don't examine everything in light of the word, you will get trapped in a tradition before you know it. You will make a tradition out of something that at one point may have had something to do with the leading of the Holy Spirit, but you'll make a tradition out of it. So, you know, last week I just told you that while we were gone, some of the things the Lord was dealing with me about, and I talked to you about falling on to know the Lord. I'm going to tell you something else the Lord's been dealing with me about, so I'll just pass it on to you. And it's this thing that's going through me all the time. Whenever I'm talking, or whenever I'm listening to messages, or other people are talking, especially the spiritual ease, Christian ease kind of language is going on, I am asking myself all the time, where is that in the Bible? Where is that in the Bible? And even if it's a good thing, where is that in the Bible helps me to go to the Bible and solidify and reinforce what I know the Scripture says. But where is that in the Bible? See, I was getting my hair cut last time I got my hair cut. It's been a while. I really need a haircut. But anyway, I'm sitting there. They're doing all the stuff to me. And there's this real spiritual conversation going on beside me. And this one woman's having all these problems. So her friend, the woman, I can't remember if it's the woman in the chair or the woman doing the cutting, but one or the other. And so there's this conversation going on. And one of them says to the other, she says, "Well, if the Lord brings you to it, he'll bring you through it." And the other one said, "Amen." And I thought, where's that in the Bible? Because that ain't in the Bible.
No.
That's on Facebook, but that's not in the Bible. And then what she said that, and she got a good reaction. She was like a preacher. You know, you say amen, and they kind of ag some own. So then she says this, "The Lord won't give you more than you can bear." Amen. And then she's on a roll. So then I'm thinking, where's that in the Bible? And that's when I went home. I was telling my boys about it, and Grayson came up with this great thing. He said this. In fact, I posted it on social media myself. He said, "The Great Commission totally obliterates the idea that God will not put on you more than you can bear." Because there's not one of us that can bear the Great Commission. But for the grace of God. But where is that in the Bible? And then, you know, it just started there and it just went on and on. All the things that people say. And they both left there that day thinking they'd had a really good spiritual conversation. But where's that in the Bible? So if it's not in the Bible, what is it? Hallmark, who said that? You understand what I'm saying? What is it? And so it's easy for us. And I'm telling you, not one of us here is immune from this. And all of us probably have things that we think that really aren't scriptural, and things that we live our lives based on, and things that limit us, or things that we act on, all those that really aren't scriptural. I mean, just when we were in Australia, there was a pastor there, and he just made the statement. He said, "The day will come when the world will hear us worshiping, and they will run in and get saved." And I thought, where is that in the Bible? Do you see what I'm saying? There are so many things. And I'm all for worship. But where is that in the Bible? And there's so many things that we think and that we say. And they sound like really good notions. But where is that in the Bible? It can be really dangerous because, I mean, it's just been this past week, maybe you've seen it, it's kind of been passed around on social media. Victoria Osteen, have any of y'all seen? Okay, so Victoria Osteen at their church got up at some point in the service. There's a little clip on YouTube or wherever it is, and she's saying something basically that when you worship, and you know, I have to tell you, I think I know what she was trying to say, and I think what she was trying to say was true. But what she ended up saying was this, is that when you worship, it's not about God, it's about you. And it makes you happy when you worship. And the thing God wants most is for you to be happy. And so you should worship for you, and that'll, and you'll be happy. And then that's what God wants most. I think what she was trying to say was there are benefits to you in worshiping God, which there are. And worshiping God will lift you. It will, you know, it'll help you cast off your burdens. And God doesn't want you weighed down. So I can, but the way it was said was that the most important thing to God was that you're happy, which is not scriptural. But people have been having a heyday with her because, you know, they pastor a church with 30,000 people and everybody's on just going after it. Man, it'd be terrible to be hurt her. Anything you can you imagine if the media recorded everything that we said? You'd have to lock me in the house, man. I'd never get to speak again. Think about it. But so I mean, I really feel for her, but on the other hand, people, preachers, ministers, people on TV say things, and a lot of people like us listen to them, and we grab hold of them, we run with them, just because they were said by somebody that we like, or that we appreciate, or we like their ministry, or whatever. And then we'll make that, we'll run with it, and we won't really check it out. We won't really think it through. We won't say, where is that in the Bible? And I'll just give you another good example from my own life. At my own dad's funeral, there was a name brand preacher at my dad's funeral preaching, and he made the statement. And I understand he was in an awkward situation that, you know, his friend Ralph had died, and he's not a pastor and he doesn't do a lot of funerals, but he has a lot. I mean, his words carry great weight. And he made the statement that we have to, he looked at us and he said, Martha, you and the family, you're going to have to learn to communicate with Ralph now, since he's not here. You're going to have to learn to communicate with him the same way you do Jesus. Well, I know he was trying to comfort us, and his intentions were good. But what he said is strictly prohibited by the scripture. Do you understand? I should not be trying to communicate with my dad the way I communicate with Jesus. Now, I understand, and I really don't. I'm lying. I don't really understand. But I know he had good intentions, and he was under a lot of pressure, and there were a lot of people watching him. And even though he's, you know, brother name brand, it was probably an awkward moment even for him. And I appreciate him coming. I really do. And I remember when he said it, I felt my mother was on one side of me, and I felt her go stiff. And that meant, Susie, don't do anything. No, it's like, but we all knew, God bless you, brother. We really are glad you're here. But that doesn't need to get out because that wasn't good. But here's the problem. He wasn't the only name brand preacher at my daddy's funeral. There were other name brand preachers. And there was another name brand preacher who takes the first name brand preacher's everything he says and he magnifies it and blows it up. So several months later, I hear this guy preaching on television this thing that was said at my dad's funeral. And it's just wacko, man. It is wacko. And this guy, he's a wonderful, wonderful man. I know him personally. He's a wonderful man. But he preaches wacky stuff. And there's no basis for it in the Bible. So you see, if you follow this guy's ministry and you hear that, you, who knows what you'll start doing? You start getting a revelation about it, and you'll start trying to talk to your dead relatives the same way you do Jesus. Do you understand? Now, that's kind of an extreme example, but I'm telling you, I've seen some extreme things. I have. You got to know the word for yourself. And it's a really good thing for all of us to occasionally, maybe every day, maybe all the time, say, where is that in the Bible? Even when you say something. even when you say all those spiritual things you say and all those spiritual thoughts that you have and all those things that come to you, it's good to question yourself and say, where is that in the Bible? Because if it's in the Bible, you will strengthen your position. When you find it in the Bible, you'll strengthen your position. And if you don't find it in the Bible, you will bring correction to yourself, which is a great and wondrous thing. Because I'm going to just tell you, there was a day when someone said for the first time, the gifts of the Spirit, I believe they've passed away. There was a day when somebody was the first guy that stood up and said, you know, I don't think God does miracles anymore. Wasn't there a day? There was a day somebody said that, and it went unchallenged somewhere because somebody else said it, to the point now that most believers think that the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all that has ceased. That miracles for every believer all the time, those are gone. Somebody stood up one day and said, we don't know if it's God's will to heal this time. And that went on enough so that now most Christians don't believe that healing belongs to us. When they used to. They used to believe not only that healing belonged to them, they believed that they were to go everywhere and dispense it to other people who would receive them. And we've gone, but see what's happened? So what is it that you and me are still embracing? What is it that you and me are hearing? Because we live in a world, and that's my closing scripture here, is from 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come. And if we're not in this time, we're really close, because my goodness, it sure seems like this time. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Let me tell you what I believe. But what does the Bible say? Well, I don't know about that, but let me tell you what I believe. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And they will look at poison and say, that looks good to eat. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. So this is a warning tonight. This is a good word for you tonight. Where is it in the Word? Do you even know how to find something in the Word? Do you even know how to check it out? If you don't know, I beg you, come and ask me. Come to School for Life. Come to us. Go to the website. We have all kinds of resources on our website to help you to get into the Word. Just start listening to the Word. You can listen to it on your phone. They have CDs of the Word. You can, to hear what does the Bible say. And if you don't understand it when you read it, get baptized in the Holy Spirit. That will help. And if you don't know then ask the Holy Spirit to help. Ask the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. Ask God, show me by your Spirit what you're saying. I want to know the truth. I don't want to be deceived. I want to know the truth. It's kind of a simple little thing, but I'm telling all of us, we can't just take what we hear and just ingest it. There is poison going around. There's, and in some cases, there's more poison than good food going around, depending on where where you're eating. And you don't want to get off the Word and be led astray. Does that mean you're going to hell? No. But you're missing out on what God has for you. You're missing out on the power in your life. You're missing out on fulfilling the fullness of His will, because you won't have the strength and authority and the boldness that you need. Because that's what the enemy comes to do, is to take away your strength and your boldness and rob you of your authority. So you can't really do anything. Like what Matt talked about on Sunday, you can't possess what Jesus already got for you. You know, that's another thing. That's another deception. People are trying to get healed. I talk to Christians and they're trying to get healed. Pray that I will be healed. If a Christian says, pray that I will be healed, I know it sounds a little funny what I'm about to say, but I can't pray that you will be healed because you are healed. Now, I understand you need to receive some power so that healing will flow out into your life, but you are healed. But somewhere you bought into the thing that I'm trying to get healed. Where's that in the word? Pray that I'll be healed. Okay, maybe it's in there. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you love us enough to speak truth to us. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can stand and be dismissed.